You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
About a man that was in the Texas state location, and he happened to be walking through the graveyard out there and noticed that there weren't any names on the markers. Anyway, it gave him the idea that, you know, even though they may not know who I am here, all they've got me down for is a number, but there's somebody that knows my name, and his name's Jesus, and he loves me no matter what I did. So it's worth it to get to know this man called Jesus.
Made some mistakes in my life, now I'm reaping what I have sown. Doing my time with all the rest, just waiting on my parole. Though I've been locked up, I can still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. He came in, he forgave my sin, and he knows who I am. Jesus knows my name. I may spend my life behind bars, Jesus has loosed my chains. And I'm a new man with a new heart, and I will never be the same. They may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. Repents of his sin, and he calls on the name of the Lord. His name is written in the book of life, as the angels all rejoice. So if they bury me all alone with my number on a cross of white,
got me there. Though you've been locked up, you can still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. Yes. He will it. He'll forgive your sin. You'll know the great I am. And to the end, they may know my name, but Jesus knows my name. The blood of the precious Lamb.
you are. That is great. We're going to talk a little bit out of the Bible tonight. If you need one, if you'll hold your hand up, we got some guys that'll bring you a Bible. Got some down here on the front. Just keep it up till you get one. And turn to the book of Exodus. That's the second book in the Old Testament. Some of you heard me tell this story. I got a call last Saturday from a fella named Terry Reed. Terry Reed, when I started going into prison in 1985, Terry Reed was in the first Bible class that I did in Big Spring Federal Prison. Terry Reed was out of Seattle, Washington. His was the largest drug bust in the history of Seattle. Depending on whether you read the morning paper or the afternoon paper, the drug bust was between $20 and $40 million of cocaine. They sent Terry to Oklahoma and then Texas to get him away from all of his northwestern connections. And in Siegelville, Texas, prison there, Terry Reed became a Christian. They shifted him from there down to Big Spring, and that's where I met him, and we've been friends ever since. But after Terry got out, he started a prison ministry and in Seattle. And Terry hosted the very first criminal justice statewide meeting that they had. He did it there in Seattle. And he called Linda and I and had us to come up, and he said, "Leland, I want you to speak at this meeting." And he had a bunch of big wheels and me. And but anyhow, before I would speak, he said, "Leland said that don't preach that Texas Longhorn message you've got." And I looked at him kind of funny, and I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You know, the one with two long points and a lot of bull in the middle." So I thought about him when he called. I told him Saturday when I was talking to him, I said, "Terry, I've told your story in every prison I've been in Texas. I've told your story so many times at Loops and then the Clover Houses and places we go." I said, "You're still a blessing to me." Terry lost his wife. They had two little girls. He got married while he was in Big Spring. They had two little girls, and when they were 4 and 2, his wife died with cancer. And Terry raised those girls, homeschooled them. And he called, he said, "My nest is empty." His oldest daughter is in the Navy. His youngest daughter just left for college. And Terry's never remarried through that time. He's just been very faithful. But I thought about him and what he did with his life. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. I want to talk to you about what's in your hand. Let me give you a little background before we start reading on, and then you'll understand what they're talking about when we get there. Moses, which is the second most mentioned character in the Bible. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's court. He'd been chosen by God from the very beginning. He spent 40 years there, got everything that type of life could offer you, the best education, luxury, the best culture, the best of everything. And Moses felt the call of God on his life to deliver the children of Israel. And like so many of us with good intentions, we do stuff the wrong way. And Moses did. He saw one of the Egyptians beating up on one of his homeboy brothers, and Moses just killed him. That teach him. And then the word got out, and Moses fled. Now all of a sudden, he's fleeing for his life. He goes to Midian, ends up on the backside of the desert, and spends 40 years there being a shepherd. Now let me tell you something. Shepherd doesn't even take a GED. Shepherd has got to be a very boring job. There's nothing thrilling about being a shepherd. I took one of them aptitude tests one time. They come back and told me, said, "You'd make a good shepherd." It's just a dull life. For 40 years, he did that. And one day he looked over and he saw a bush burning. And he didn't pay a whole lot of attention until the bush kept burning. I guess a lot of bushes may be caught on fire. I see a lot of Christians catch on fire. They just quit burning. See? When the bush kept burning, Moses went there and God said, take your shoes off. You're on holy land. He said, I want you to go and deliver my people. Now I'm sending you back to Egypt to get the nation of Israel and to deliver them. Now, here's where our story begins. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, and we're going to start reading there. Because he's told Moses what he wants him to do. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared to me. Moses got the excuses like the rest of us. He had all kinds of excuses. This is just the beginning of them. He even lied about some of them. If we don't want to do God's work, we can come up with more excuses. You know, just tell him you don't want to do his work. Oh, I'd never do that. It's like the guy that said, can I borrow your lawnmower? And he said, no, my son's in Afghanistan. And he said, what's that got to do with borrowing your lawnmower? He said, well, if I don't want to loan you my lawnmower, one excuse is good as another. See? So, he's got excuses. And then in verse 2, and the Lord said unto him. Now, God's got a question for Moses. The Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? He said, what do you got, Moses? Now, notice, he didn't say how much you got in the bank. He didn't say how much education do you have. Do you have some degrees on the wall? He didn't ask him about his culture. Didn't ask him about his race. Didn't ask him about his upbringing. Didn't ask him about any of these things. He didn't ask him how much he's got in his pocket. He didn't ask him how much experience do you have. All the experience he's got is herding sheep. He just said, what do you got in your hand? And notice Moses' very short answer, a rod. Now, a rod, shepherds carried rods. You remember the 23rd Psalm, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me? Shepherds carried rods. And a rod was nothing in the world but a limb cut off a tree to help direct and discipline and herd sheep. That's all that a rod was. It had no moving parts. It's not complicated at all. That's all it is. And Moses said, I got a rod. And then God said, in verse 3, notice, and he said, cast it on the ground. Just throw it down. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And I don't blame him. When he threw it down, it became a serpent. See, in Moses' hand, it's a rod. Outside of Moses' hand, it's dangerous. Might give that some thought. There may be a story there for us. I'm not sure. The pages keep blowing. The serpent in the Bible is a symbol of Satan, too, by the way. And this is kind of interesting because in verse 4, the Lord said, Moses, put forth thine hand, take it by the tail. Now, if there's one place you don't want to pick up a snake, it's by the tail. But keep in mind, this is a rod. And God said, you take it by the tail. Now, notice, when it turned into a snake, Moses hooked him. He just left. But God said, I want you to take it. And so Moses has got to turn around, doesn't he? To go back. And when he turns around to go back, the snake runs off. Because he's going to pick it up by the tail. He's at the back of it. Moses runs off and the snake's got him on the run. And then when Moses turned, you know what the Bible said? James said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right. Now, the problem with most of us is that we are assisting him, not resisting him. Amen. The Bible said, neither give place to the devil. And we say, hey, sit here. We got room, me and you. Hey. People say, well, boy, the devil's got me. No, you give yourself to him. He can't touch God's people. So, out of Moses' hand, this is a dangerous situation. in Moses' hand. It was a miraculous rod. Two things I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to do it pretty briefly. This was all Moses had. Didn't have anything else. He goes back to deliver the nation of Israel from slavery, out of the bondage of the Egyptians. That they crossed the Red Sea on dry land because of this rod. Moses points that rod at the Red Sea. And they walk across on dry land. And we've got professors that are trying to explain that and said, you don't understand. It was that time of the year and it was only 6 inches deep at that time. And that's why the walker, this wasn't such a miracle. And the little boy that heard that said, man, that's a fascinating miracle. And they said, no, son, what I'm trying to tell you, anybody could walk across there. It's only 6 inches deep. He said, what a miracle. He said, you're not getting this. It wasn't any miracle. He said, I'm not talking about Moses. I'm talking about the fact that God drowned the whole Egyptian army in 6 inches of water. Because they all drowned. Now, this was all Moses had. They won battles with Moses holding this rod up. Moses got water out of the rock with this rod. He said, smite that rock. When they were thirsty, and water gushed forth. This rod in Moses' hand was a miracle. But this is all that he had. I want you to notice some things about this. He never asked Moses about his past. God didn't care. Let me tell you something. God works here and now. If God's asking you to do something, then He'll equip you to do it. Moses didn't say, well, I need to go back to school. Moses didn't say all these other things, and God wasn't going to listen to the things that he did say. He said, here's what I want you to do. This is all Moses had, and the emphasis is on the present. Paul said, sitting in a Roman jail, and if you think that Beto 1 is tough, if you think the Texas prison system is tough, the Roman prison system would make us look like the Hilton. And Paul is sitting in a Roman prison, and here's what he said, I can, not I used to could, or not I might be able to. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's true humility. We could brag and say, I can do all things, and we're bragging, and it's also a lie. But when we say, I can do all things through Christ, Paul said in that prison, I've learned how to be content. Most of us have never learned that. But to be content with God, this is all that he had. It was all that he needed, is point two. That's all that he needed. He didn't need anything else. It's not who we are. Every now and then somebody comes and says, man, we're going to start a ministry. Would you give me some money? Start a ministry. You don't need money to start a ministry. I had a fellow come to me, and he was facing some real bad charges. And I've noticed this sometime. Folks that are facing charges get more ministry-minded. But he said, Leland, and I used to go to church with him, and he said, Leland said, I want to get in the ministry. I said, there's plenty of room. And he said, well, I just want to do something for God. He said, I've got a heart to do something for God. I said, good. He said, what can I do? I said, well, start with nursing homes. Start going into jail. Well, I don't know if that's where God's calling me. Well, why don't you go and find out? Hey. Now, to make a long story short, he never got into the ministry. Folks come up, well, I need some money and I'm going to start this. No, you start. Ministry, you know, it doesn't take that. If you want to be a witness for God, goodness, we have 1,000 chances a day. One of the things that you know, we think we know so much stuff. God taught me a lesson, just and it hadn't been but just a few months ago. But every Friday afternoon, we have ministry out here at the jail. And Rick, who works back here running the sound system, started going in there and ministering. He got a heart for those guys. And we have ministers. Carolyn goes. The women can go anywhere in the women's section. The men can go anywhere in the men's section. And for 1 hour, you can just talk to people about Jesus. Still can do it. A lot of places you can't in town, but you can out there at the jail. But if you're not there at 1 o'clock, start the ministry, that officer doesn't wait on them. Carolyn's laughing because she'd been late a time or two. But I'm going to tell you, and it's 1 o'clock their time, not mine and your time. And they just make one trip back there with you, and that's it. And so Sandra, Rick's wife, his first wife, he was running a little late that day, and she said, honey, said, let's just go on out there. I've got a book, said I can sit in the visitation room and just wait on you and I'll read a book. And that way you won't miss this time. And so she did. And without telling me or Rick either one, God started a ministry. We come back out and Sandra's just bubbling and she's been talking to people in the visitation room for an hour about Jesus. They were coming early to get in to visit. And now she's got a ministry, and every Friday afternoon when she can, she's sitting in that visitation room. Amen. Talking to people. See, those folks are hurting maybe even more than the ones back yonder. But let me tell you that, see, if you got thrown in jail, they gave you 3 hots and a cot, but they didn't do your family that way. They didn't give them nothing. See? And so the mamas are hurting, the wives are hurting, the kids are hurting. And all of a sudden, the jail people are asking, who is that lady and what are you doing? But it's ministry, reaching out to somebody. Hey, ministry, feeding them. But if you're going to come and eat, we're going to tell you about Jesus. I noticed where the Boy Scouts had had a run-in with United Way, and I thought they were late. I had a run-in with them a long time ago. Because when Salvation Army took United Way money, and used to, the Salvation Army did what we're doing every Saturday morning. We'll feed you right after we preach to you. As soon as they took United Way money, that was over with. Said, you can't do that anymore. You can't do this. I found out there's something about the golden rule. Them got the gold rule. Right? And that's why we need, as God's people, quit worrying about the money and say, I'm going to do the ministry, and I'll tell you what, God will take care of that. You just get out there and do some work. Get out there and start doing something. You say, well, you don't realize, don't have education. Doesn't make any difference. If God calls you for it, he puts you out. Maybe he's going to send you to a bunch of dummies. Y'all all fit together. See? So, well, man, I'm the wrong color. Well, he's not going to send you to a different color. Or he might. You know what's amazing? Paul was a Jew. He ought to have been sent to the Jews. God sent him to the Gentiles. And he had the greatest ministry there ever was, and he evangelized the entire Gentile world from a prison cell. Go back and read 2 Timothy. He kept sending people out, telling the message. God can do what he wants to do. With God, all things are possible. These things, wasn't any way in the world that Moses could have led the children of Israel out there without God. He'd already tried it his way. All he's got, it's old Moses, been on the backside of the desert 40 years, and he's got that long stick. And how many miracles did he do? What did he do? What? See, you say, well, you know, I want to get in counseling. Then you find out you're going to have to study. Well, I'm getting something else. Well, I want to work. Let me tell you what most people want to do. They want somebody to draw them a crowd, and then they'll tell folks what to do. Everybody wants to tell somebody what to do. Okay. First, you need to start living for them. You know what? Moses spent that first 40 years learning to be somebody. He was Pharaoh's adopted grandson, as it were. Pharaoh's wife raised him in the castle, in the king's palace. He had everything he wanted. I don't know if they had convertibles back then, but if they did, he got one. Then, when he tried it his way, he ends up the next 40 years. But let me tell you something about that 40 years. He spent some time learning he was nobody. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. And he spent the next 40 years learning that God is everything. I want you to bow your heads, if you would. Normally, we're just really evangelistic here, and I certainly don't want to omit that by anything. And maybe the things that we've talked about tonight, God has spoken to you about your salvation, that you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And if you haven't, let me just say this to you very briefly while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If God is dealing with your heart tonight, and you know, if He is, here's what He said. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's simple. Say, Lord, I believe You died for me. I trust You as my Savior. Here I am. And in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to announce that publicly. Secondly, some of you, you're Christians. You've been Christians. But you've run from God. Sorry, you're still running from God. You know God's got some things for you to do, and you're making arguments like Moses started out doing. I can't, I can't, I can't. And you can't outside of what God will equip you. And it's just time for you to quit making excuses and say, here I am, Lord, I'll do what You want me to do. I don't know what it is, but I'll do it. And let me tell you why. That you can do that blind is that the only place there's joy and peace and happiness is serving Jesus Christ. I came into this town over 25 years ago a drunk. Had gone broke. Gone through another bad marriage and my life was on bottom. If somebody had told me, if they'd met me to city limits and said, Leland, you're getting ready to start the greatest years of your life, I'd laughed in their face. But the truth of the matter is, I've had the greatest years of my life. Getting to tell this story, the old, old story about Jesus Christ, because I don't care how far down you are, I don't care how far out you are, Jesus Christ can save you. And Jesus Christ can use you. See, that's all Moses had, but that's all that he needed. And it's the same with you. Let's stand to our feet while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to say a brief prayer that I want you to come, whatever God wants you to do. Father, You know the hearts tonight. We pray that You just deal with each one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. With our heads still bowed, eyes still closed. As Charles sings, never trusted Christ, would you come? Say, Leland, I want to be saved tonight. I want to trust Christ. I've turned my life over to Him. If God's dealing with your heart about something you need to do for Him, I'm His child, but I've been a disobedient child. I want to get it right. I want to get it cleaned up. Would you come? Right now. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. Would you do it? Oh, what griefs we often fart. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Come on. And ask Charles to sing one more verse. Nobody comes on this verse, and we're through. This is your opportunity. Come on. Mean business with God. What do you got in your hand? Give it to God. Couldn't be any worse than that stick. Being here. Let's bow our heads. We're going to be dismissed. There's people at the altar praying. We don't want to interrupt them. The food bar and the drinks are open. Be sure and put your card in the box. Thank you again. If you anything you need, we can help you with, let us know. Our Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the joy and the peace that you bring to your people. Now go with these that are here tonight. Thank you for them. We know this, that whether people come to the front or didn't, there were a lot of decisions made. We pray they's made for you. Now bless the people and give us another week to talk to them. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.
His name is wonderful, Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.